Let us then turn in God's Word to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to take a brief break from our sermon series from Isaiah, looking at 1 Peter 5, looking specifically at verses 6 through 11. I want to read the whole of the chapter just so that we have the context. Let us read together God's Word from 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm beginning reading at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word, as we open a new year, we seek what God has for us as we live within this world day by day. And yet, as we have a world which progresses forward, we live in a world that is not circular, going around and around, and that our time here has a focus, has a purpose. Many ideologies would tell us otherwise, that, well, this world just is here. Or this world is going around in circles and time is circular and this and that. We as Christians understand that God has created this world and that it has a past, it has a present, and it has a future. And we know where it came from and we know where it's going. And so how do we live? What do we expect in a new year as we move forward, as God tells us, from glory into glory? As we live in a world which is cursed, and yet a world that is used by God as a time of testing, preparing us, James tells us, the Apostle James tells us, for heaven. Well, how do we live here? And that's what we see in our passage. God provides his people with all that is necessary for serving him in the new year. And as we look at this passage, we see the great grace of God providing for us day by day, moment by moment. Verses 6 and 7 tell us that we can cast our cares upon the Lord. Verses 8 and 9 call us to resist the devil. And verses 10 and 11, we are told that we are called to glory through trials. And yes, that's true of every day of our lives, but it's true as we begin a new year. We need to understand the grace of God, the provision of God, and the glory which God gives to us. So first of all, we look at the fact that we can cast our cares upon the Lord. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We live in a culture that says, grab all the gusto, it's all about me. You don't have to turn on the TV for 3 seconds. We're carried along by it so easily as human beings. I want it for now. I have this big struggle. People tell me about their bucket lists. I got to do it here and now on this earth. I'm sorry. I got something way better than anything I could ever bucket list here on this earth prepared for me in heaven. And so we look forward as Christians to something that is far beyond. And so we can humbly trust God that He will exalt us. How do we start a new year? We humble ourselves. We come before God and say, this is a new year, and I pray, Lord, that I can serve You in it. That I can glorify You. It's not about Grossman. It's not about me. It's about You, Lord. Now, the awesome thing is that God will exalt us if we do that. That believing on Christ, putting our trust and our faith in Him, He will exalt us. But brothers and sisters, it's not about me. It's about God. About His glory. And so we don't set ourselves at the high place. Jesus tells us about that in Luke 14. Instead, go to the low. Jesus said, verse 11, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so, the right way to begin a new year is to humble ourselves before God and to worship God, to come before Him. We are to trust ourselves, our cares, to God's care. Notice what it says there. Casting your cares upon Him. Another way of translating that word is throwing them. How often do we carry about our cares and our worries on our own shoulders and weigh ourselves down? And I'm not pointing anything out at anybody that I'm not pointing at myself, because I do this all the time. To cast our cares. We get worried about this. We expect this is going to happen or that's going to happen. We can trust in God. We can cast our cares, our burdens. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Instead of carrying around that burden for another year, cast it on the Lord. Say, Lord, You're the one who's got to take care of this. I can't. Lord, I trust in You. You provide. You take care. In fact, God forbids us from spending our time worrying about the things of this world. Jesus said, Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We pray, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, give us this day our daily bread. That doesn't mean we quit working. Brothers and sisters, we so often get worried about all of these things, don't we? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? Who created it all? The cattle on 1,000 hills are God's. We're called to be faithful. I've been talking about the Dave Ramsey course. I think it's an excellent way to be faithful in what God has given to us. But we need to be careful that we trust in God, not in Dave Ramsey or how we do our finances, but in God, that we put our trust in Him. Jesus as well reminds us that the birds of the air don't worry in that same context. This just boggles my mind because I'm one of those people who wants to have everything set up with regard to finances. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap. God takes care of them. Look at the flowers. They don't lay up in barns. For God cares for us. Read that again in verse 7. Casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Aren't those awesome words? The God of the universe cares about me. I'm a sinner. I deserve Him to flick me off of the universe. Yet Almighty God cares about what's going on in my life. He calls me to cast my cares upon Him because He cares for us, for you, for me. I think too often, at least I have this perspective of God, that He looks down on the situation. Certainly He's involved. Certainly He cares about it. But those words there just struck me to the heart as I was studying the sermon. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. All of the things that are going on in your life, all of these things that we just live through, God cares about each and every one of them. And He carries us through them. And we are to cast those cares upon Him instead of carrying them and weighing ourselves down with them. Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. I'm poor. I'm needy. I have nothing, we have nothing that we can bring to God and say, Lord, You owe me. Yet the Lord thinks on me. He cares about us as His people. So we can call out to Him. We can cry out to Him and He hears us. We are to cast our cares upon the Lord as we begin this year, throughout this year. But it's not all going to be just easy. You know, there's some people who will say to you, well, once you're a Christian, it's all good. And there are other people who will tell you that if you've really got a bad day as a Christian, you're not trusting enough in God. You got to have more faith. Well, what does Jesus say about faith? Like a mustard seed will move a mountain. Well, obviously my faith's not that big. But guess what? We're going to have trials this year. We need to realize that. God doesn't tell us that this is going to be perfect and easy. He does, by the way, tell us that it is going to bring about His perfect will. And so even when God brings hardship into our lives, that is not God letting us go in trouble. That is God providing for us there too. And we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant because the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to be sober, we need to be vigilant. That's the picture that Jesus gives us again and again. How do we prepare for Christ's coming? How do we prepare and live in this world? We don't spend our time getting out of our mind by getting drunk and that sort of thing. We need to be on top of what's going on. We cast our care upon God, but that doesn't mean we just throw our hands up. You know, the old song, Jesus take the wheel. Well, we cast our cares upon God, but we don't take our hands off of the wheel. We trust that He will guide us. We trust that He will direct us. And so we need to be sober. We need to have our senses about us. We need to be vigilant. One thing I struggle with my boys is they don't pay attention to the world around them. And we all need to learn to do that, not only physically, but spiritually. To realize what's going on in the world. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." If we think we're doing okay, we're in worse danger than if we think we're not doing so very well. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice what Satan replies to God, Job chapter 1, verse 7, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where do you come from?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.'" What was Satan doing? He was doing what God says he does. He is seeking whom he may devour. And we're told that the demons dress themselves up as angels of light, trying to deceive, if it were even possible, even the elect. They can make themselves look pretty good. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to have our brains on our shoulders. We need to be careful. We need to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to be prepared for that. Because though God promises blessing, we need to understand that this world is not our friend. That the devil is walking about. And so we are called to resist him. Resist the devil. Notice, this is a very interesting verse as well to us. "Resist him steadfast in the truth, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." I think too often, notice what it says here. It says, resist, be steadfast, because everybody else is dealing with these same things. When we as Christians struggle, so often we look around and we say, well, everybody else has got it okay. I'm the only one who struggles, right? And that's one of those lies of Satan. No, every one of us struggles. Every one of us struggles with sin. Every one of us struggles with temptations. And guess what? The struggles and the temptations you have are probably not very different from the struggles and temptations that I have and every other person in this church does and every other Christian on earth does. Now, they may take different forms, but at root basis, there's still struggles with who's God? First commandment issue. I want to do it my way. Well, guess what, God? That means God's got to play second fiddle. He doesn't play second fiddle. And so I need to do it God's way. And again, that's one of the first issues I struggle with as a human being. Is I want to do it my way. And we can go through the Ten Commandments and see that our struggles, our sins, are not far different from one another. They're often very similar. And so, God tells us that these struggles are going to come. These trials are going to come. But what are they there for? They're there to glorify God through. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James 4:7. I love that verse. The worst thing that could happen, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy at that point, but we need to realize that as Christians, the devil is not powerful. God is powerful. Steadfast in the faith. We need to be steadfast, firm, knowing what God has said to us, so that when the devils dress themselves up as angels of light, we can still see their lies. The same sufferings are experienced, as we've been saying, by our brotherhood in the world. Knowing that these same sufferings are very common to us as human beings. And we're called to glory then through trials. We're called, verse 10, the first part of verse 10, to eternal glory. Now this is kind of a doxology here in verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory. Sorry, having trouble with my Bible. It doesn't want to turn page here. By Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. We're glorifying God, and we're receiving God's blessing. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a little while. We are called by God for God's eternal glory. We serve God in this world, and as we begin a new year, we focus to serve God this year to God's glory better than I did last year. He has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. We are here. We are upon this earth. We are for the glory of God. That's what we're here for. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you should walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We have that awesome purpose that we are here for the glory of God. But we're going to be perfected through trials. After you have suffered a little while, we read there. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Again and again, there are people who tell us, you know, our best life is now. No, it isn't. Our best life is coming in Jesus Christ. This is pretty good, don't get me wrong. But what God has prepared for us in heaven and in the new heavens and new earth, this ain't got nothing on that. We got to realize that. The perspective, I love this perspective. I heard it recently. Where a guy says, you know, we live in a world that's hard. And it can be hard. And we get this perspective that this is all there is. And so if I have 80 years of struggle in my life, then I've had a hard world. But the perspective that we need to have is 80 years is just the 3 milliseconds of what we have in eternal life. And so if God in his divine wisdom and providence gives a hard life here, it's like having a shot. A shot ain't much fun. But we know that that's only a brief period in our life. And so we have to realize what God has for us is not just here, but is in eternity. And so we can live year by year, day by day, through trials even, knowing that these trials have a purpose, have a glorious goal. And yes, we're going to be grieved by various trials here. But in this we greatly rejoice that God has given us eternal life. That's what the antecedent is there in 1 Peter 1 verse 6. When we have trials, we don't need to be surprised. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's Paul writing in 2 Timothy 2:10. God is the one. Notice that, what God says here. After you have suffered a little while, that God perfects, establishes, and settles, strengthens and settles you. That we got to think about that for a second. We are called to labor to the end of these things, that these things would go about, come about. But notice who finally brings that about. Is that because I'm so good? I got it figured out? That's the grace and the mercy of God. That God is the one who perfects, who establishes, who strengthens, who settles us finally. We are called to perfection, yet that perfection is a gift from God. Notice what God calls to Abraham, Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless." 99 years old, God says, "Okay, now you got to be blameless." Well, God calls us to be blameless. That doesn't mean we're going to get it perfect. God is the one who establishes and perfects us. God is the one who strengthens us for that which He gives us to live through and to serve Him through. And God is the one who settles us for a new year. To God be the glory. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What are we here about? What is this year about? What are our lives about? The glory of God. This is the purpose that we're here for. But not only for this year, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. God is the one who provides for us. God is the one who deserves the glory and the honor for all that we have. God is where we need to be to start a year. To spend our time realizing, humbling ourselves before God. It's not about me. It's not about how important I am. As we begin a new year well, we begin a new year by saying, "God, You be glorified in this year, in me, in what I do." Amen. Let us bow before our God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, indeed we thank You that You have provided for us all that is necessary for body and soul. And we thank You for Your provision for us this new year. That You provide for us that which is necessary. And that You are He who is to be glorified through our service in this year. We pray, O Lord, that we would cast our cares upon You. We pray, Lord, that as You tell us that this year is going to have difficulties in it, that we would cast those cares upon You as well, that we would, in those difficulties, resist the devil. And we pray, Lord, that our focus would be on the eternal glory which You have prepared for us as Your people, that our focus upon this earth would glorify You in everything that we say and do and think. We praise You, Lord, that You have given us that purpose upon this world. And we pray, Lord, that we would fulfill that to the glory and to the honor of Your name. For we confess, Lord, that we so easily want our own glory, that we so easily run after our own ideas. And we pray, Lord, that we would, as we begin a new year, consciously begin it with the desire that You would be glorified through us in everything that we say and do and think. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."